This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Now the Ave Maria Hour begins the story of Mother Cabrini.
Our story begins in Lombardy, the beautiful lake country of northern Italy. It is the year 1874.
Father Cerati, I don't want always to teach school. I want to be a missionary sister.
A small but determined young woman, Francesca Cabrini, is talking to the parish priest.
Francesca, how did such big ideas ever find their way into such a tiny head? I'm afraid you have romantic notions.
Oh, no. Truly, I'm serious. Believe me, Father Cerati, I am.
Then listen to me. Francesca, let's discuss this sensibly. I know better than you where your talents lie. You have a way with children, haven't you?
Why, yes.
They learn their lessons well under you and they adore you. Is this true?
Yes, but...
Then dismiss this idea from your mind and be content to stay in Lombardy, right here in Codogno where you belong. Here you can do the work for which you are best suited.
But Father Cerati, there are children in all parts of the world. Children who have no one to teach them or to love them. I want to be a missionary sister. I want to go to the East and teach the light of faith to the little ones there.
Yes, yes, I know that someone should go to them, but... Francesca, if there were no other considerations, if nothing else stood in the way, I would say you aren't fitted for the difficult task of missionary work, for the rigors of travel and the hardships you would be forced to undergo. You... Well, to be quite frank, you're not...
I know what you're going to say, Father. I'm not strong enough. My health won't permit it. Is that what you want to tell me?
Precisely. Well, you can see for yourself that such an undertaking would be impossible. You're so small and so frail. No, you could never stand such a life.
Father Cerati, may I ask you something?
Well, of course, child.
Father, do you suppose that God is going to ask me to do only what is possible? Do you think I will always be asked to do only what I can?
I never would have believed that so much determination could be found in so tiny a person. You make it very difficult for me to refuse you, my child. But even if I were to say yes to your request, if I told you that you might become a missionary sister, the fact remains that you are a woman, and there is no missionary institute for women.
Then, Father Cerati, I will found one.
Throughout her life, this little woman was to show just such determination in the face of all obstacles. Francesca Cabrini, now Mother Cabrini, did found a missionary institute, a training school for missionary sisters. She purchased an old Franciscan convent in which she set about training her sisters for their future tasks. It was only a short time before her eyes turned to Rome, where she wished to establish another school. And here she traveled to see Cardinal Parocchi, who was the Cardinal Vicar of Rome.
Your Eminence, I'm sure you see the importance of my suggestion.
No, Mother. I'm afraid I do not see. Your institute is too new, only 7 years old. The idea untried.
But, Your Eminence, sisters must be trained for the missionary life. Many of them. It cannot be done in one institution in one city. And besides, the purpose of the institute is twofold. Orphans are given homes in our houses, and children are taught there. We are helping others as we learn. If I could open one in Rome...
Mother Caprini, religious houses are as plentiful here as the flowers in spring. We have no room for you in Rome. And furthermore, I don't feel that you are ready for expansion. My answer is final. Go back to Cardonia.
Your Eminence, how can I make you see how important... How very important a part of God's work I feel this training to be.
I can think of only one way in which you can carry on God's work here in Rome.
And that is?
Bring me 500,000 lire and I will tell you how to use it here. We need money. Not more institutions.
You jest with me, Your Eminence. But will you grant me one favor?
What is it?
Will you allow me to remain in Rome while our constitution is being drawn up?
Why, I see no reason why you should not stay in Rome if you wish. But, Mother Caprini, I've made myself understood. You realize that my answer is final?
Your Eminence, I do not believe that our Lord should always make things go as I hope they will. But this time I shall truly pray to God and the Holy Mother. I shall pray for them to change your heart.
The cardinal had told Mother Cabrini that she was not to open an institute in Rome. But hope did not die easily in her determined heart. She stayed in Rome. Several weeks later, the cardinal summoned her.
Mother Cabrini, I have been lenient. I have granted your request that you be allowed to stay in Rome, even though I did not see the wisdom of it.
Yes, Your Eminence.
And now the time has come when I must insist that you do as I ask. Are you ready to obey?
At once, Your Eminence.
Then?
I have no choice.
Here is my order. You will not open a single house in Rome. Is that understood?
Yes. I understand.
You will open two.
Yes, Your Eminence, I... What? What did you say?
I said that you were not to open one house, but two missionary schools in Rome.
Your Eminence.
You are surprised, I see. Well, perhaps your prayers to the Blessed Virgin, after all, did change my heart. You must have prayed very hard, Mother.
How can I thank you?
There is no need. And perhaps you won't thank me so much later on. Your task won't be easy.
No task is easy, Your Eminence. But I shall work hard with all my strength to make these schools worthy of your trust in me. With God's help, it can be done.
Mother Cabrini founded a preschool for poor children outside the Porta Pia and an infant school in Aspra. The cardinal had said that her task would be difficult, but she didn't tell him how right he was. She had received contributions which were hardly enough to cover the expenses of one school, and now it would have to stretch to cover the cost of two. One of them was opened on All Saints' Day in the utmost poverty. And when its staff of 5 teaching sisters arrived from Cardonia...
Mother, how glad we are to be with you again. Yeah,
welcome.
I'm so terribly glad, Mother.
Welcome, and I'm happy to have you here with me, all of you. But I'm afraid you won't have much in the way of comfort here for a while.
Why, there's nothing here. No furniture, no...
No anything, sister. Do you think we can manage?
Oh, Why, I'm sure we can, Mother.
Of course we can. Why, we'll sleep on the floor.
And eat our meals there, too.
We'll use our fingers for forks. It'll be fun. Just like a picnic.
You are good sports, sisters. I knew I could count on you. And remember the words of St. Teresa. Teresa and 5 pence is worth nothing.
But Teresa, five pence and God can do anything.
The little mother haunted the public auctions to find furniture at a price she could afford. And the sisters scrubbed and cleaned the old house until it shone. All of them labored ceaselessly until at last it was ready. And then the cardinal himself came to call.
And now, Your Eminence, you have seen everything.
Yes, I have seen it all. How hard you must have worked to make this dingy old house into a home for these children. What difficulties you must have had.
Difficulties are children's toys, Your Eminence. Worrying about them is what makes them big.
How wonderful to be able to believe that, Mother. Never to feel that any problem is too great to surmount.
I have always found strength in our Lord. I find that with him to help me, there is very little that is impossible, Your Eminence.
With that belief in your heart, Mother, your work will be truly great.
It is in my heart, and I thank God for it. I thank him and Our Lady who stands here in this niche. You see?
Yes, I see her. Mother Caprini.
Yes, Your Eminence.
Her crown. Why does it lie on the pedestal beside her?
She's waiting.
Waiting? For what?
She's waiting to be crowned by you, whose heart she has changed.
The homes and schools of Mother Caprini grew and multiplied, but the little mother was restless. For though she bore the title of missionary, she had never left the shores of her own land. She had visions and dreams which urged her to leave Italy and begin the work for which she had trained herself. But still, she received no invitation, no official word of an appointment. In her travels about Italy, she had come to know Bishop Scalabrini of Piacenza. He had himself inaugurated a mission on behalf of the Italian immigrants to New York. Bishop Scalabrini had come to see her.
Mother Caprini, do you feel that the missionary training you have given the sisters in your institutes is sufficient? Are they ready to take over their duties now?
Oh, yes, Your Excellency. We have been ready for a long while. We have been waiting. I have prayed that an appointment to some foreign land would come. I have had dreams which told me that I should be called soon. But so far...
You and your dreams. Here in my hand is something far more tangible. Look. A letter from New York. Real and no dream.
From New York?
Yes, Mother Caprini. Archbishop Corrigan has asked that Italian sisters be sent to that city. He wishes you to found schools and orphanages for the Italian children there. Here's the letter. You can see for yourself. Why, Mother, I believe you're disappointed.
You see, Your Excellency, I had always dreamed of carrying the word of God to a heathen land, to those who know nothing of the greatness and the mercy of our Lord. The little ones in China thrown out to die, neglected, without the light of faith.
There is much work to be done in America. Think of the little ones who are growing up in the foreign land, our own little ones, Italians. Someone must go to them. Must show them how to keep the light of faith alive in their hearts. Oh, they need you.
Yes. Yes, I'm beginning to see...
New York is filled with Italian immigrants. And though I believe that they should become Americans, I also believe that it is not a prudent plan to change a child suddenly to a life that is so strange, you see.
Yes, Your Excellency, I do see. They need help and guidance as much as the little Chinese children. Perhaps more. I'm sorry I hesitated.
You will accept.
I will accept. Perhaps later on...
Yes, perhaps.
So it was that the tiny nun and seven of her sisters set off across the Atlantic, westward to New York. She was soon to realize how right Archbishop Corrigan had been, how much she was needed there. She had no means, but she and her sisters begged from door to door for the necessary funds. And within a month's time, she opened her first orphanage for Italian immigrants.
Mother!
Yes, Sister Celia, what is it?
They're here, Mother. Our first little orphan. Sister Maria is bringing them to you.
Wonderful, sister. How many are there?
Only four. I hear them coming now.
Oh, Mother, wait till you see. They're so ragged and dirty and so very frightened.
I brought the children, Mother Cabrini.
Benvenuto, little ones. Come sta?
Rosa! Rosa, she's speaking Italiano. You hear?
So bene, grazie, bene.
Come, speak, Rosa Antonia. You got no money?
It's all right. They're shy now. Don't scold them. What are your names?
Me, I'm a Dominic, and these my little sisters, Rosa and Antonia. The bambino, the sister is called, she's Lucrezia.
You're welcome here, Dominic. Tell your little sisters not to be frightened. Tell them they won't be hungry again. Or cold.
Oh, grazie, grazie, my.
And now we won't waste any more time. First we'll give you something to eat, then I'll bathe the little girls and the baby and... Oh, dear.
What is it, Mother?
What are we to dress them in? Their clothes are rags. What shall we do?
I don't know. I hadn't thought.
I have it. Sister Celia.
Yes, Mother.
You and the other nuns run quickly to our trunk. Take some of our habits and cut them up for clothes. We'll manage somehow. Remember Teresa and the 5 pence.
Nothing daunted the little nun. She always found a way to overcome all difficulties. Material problems seemed to disappear as though by magic at a touch. Her orphanage filled rapidly, and she could go where the police couldn't, into the most dangerous neighborhoods. And within a few months, she had not 400 children to care for. She opened day schools and nurseries, all of which were soon filled with the children of her countrymen. And then the cardinal suggested that she might open a hospital. Mother Cabrini hesitated, not being sure that this was the work for which she was best fitted. But one day, as she was visiting a public hospital, she stopped by one of the beds in the ward. And as she looked at the patient's chart...
Mario Andronati. You are Italiano, Mario?
Si, si, sono Italiano.
That is my homeland, too.
Eh? You too? Oh, it's wonderful. I not see my country for a long time. I not talk to anybody Italiano. Madre, scusi, what if you would...
There's something you'd like me to do for you?
Si, si, it's letter here on the pillow. I not can read, please, madre.
You want me to read it to you? Why, of course. Give it to me. Why, Mario, this letter is dated 4 months back. Surely it's been read to you before.
No. I don't find nobody here who speaks Italiano. Nobody. Tell me, please, what it says.
It says, oh, Mario.
What it say?
It says that your mother has died. And no one could tell you that
Mario.
In all that while.
Mario.
Oh, Mario. Oh, Mario.
Then Mother Cabrini realized how lonely such men were, how lost. She hesitated no longer and immediately went about founding a hospital of her own for Italians. The patients were at first all poor immigrants. They were nursed free, and doctors gave their services, and donations covered the cost of everything else. And Columbus Hospital grew until it became the magnificent institution it is today. And then followed for the tireless little mother the task of forming schools and opening hospitals in many far places.
Nicaragua, New Orleans,
Paris,
Chicago,
Madrid,
England, Denver.
In all these places and many more, Mother Cabrini opened schools and hospitals. Time and again, this frail little woman made perilous ocean voyages. She crossed the Andes when the terrible snowstorms made the roads all but impassable. She was often ill. She contracted typhoid and yellow fever, malaria, But she never wavered. By now, she was over 60, and on a visit to Italy, she found herself failing in health and tired, very tired. And she wanted to hand over her duties to another.
Avanti, my sister. What is it? What have you there?
Cablegrams, Mother.
Cablegrams?
Yes. Oh, Mother, please don't be angry with us. Please don't think we've been disobedient.
What on earth have you been up to? Come, tell me. You all look like naughty children.
We know you wish to turn over your superiorship to someone else. Well, these cablegrams are from the sisters in all the missionary houses of the Sacred Heart all over the world. Your missionary house.
Yes.
Mother, they all want you to stay on as superior.
You're the foundress. Why, we couldn't let you turn over your office to anyone else.
Oh, no, Mother. We're all willing to offer the rest of our own lives to have you remain with us and in charge of us.
Such nonsense. Now, what would be the good of the lot of you dying? What should I do all alone? Come, come, sisters. Live on and get some work done.
And that evening, the Cardinal called on her.
Mother, I have asked you to come here so that you may see the decree which I have just signed. You, Mother Cabrini, as foundress of the Missionary Institute of the Sacred Heart, are to remain its superior for life.
But, Your Eminence, I am an old woman. Someone else could carry on my work so much better than I. Perhaps better than I ever have. I feel that I'm no longer capable.
Oh, so that's it. Well, then we'll put it this way. Since you tell me that you have performed your services so imperfectly, we have decided to give you more time in which to do them better.
But, Your Eminence,
Can't you see that it's sheer foolishness for anyone to take the tiller when the pilot is still in the boat?
Oh, very well. Perhaps you're right after all. Perhaps I shouldn't be allowed to rest. I should die very soon if I stopped working. When I'm busy, I'm never ill. Directly I stop, I fall sick.
Heaven is made for people who work as you do. Courage, Mother. Keep on with your job. The spirit of Mother Cabrini is a good one.
Thereupon, the Cardinal handed the little nun the decree that was never to exempt her from toil. Mother Cabrini did pilot the boat for 7 years longer, directing the work of more than 1,500 sisters and more than 50 hospitals, schools, and orphanages in many parts of the world. It was in Chicago on December the 22nd, 1917, at the age of 67, that she passed to her well-earned heavenly rest. Truly, our Lord could say of Mother Cabrini with infinite satisfaction, "This is my dear child, in whom I am well pleased."